Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Unless they do things a certain way, we just haven't had church. That's what cripples a lot of churches. That's what keeps them from being free in the Spirit, because they're too worried about stepping on somebody's toes. If Brother Jimmy don't get to preach, then he might get mad. I got a promise for you. I'll never get mad. Amen. When the Holy Ghost is in control. We came to serve the Lord. However he wants to move, that's how we want him to move. And I praise you this morning for your worship. And I exalt you this morning for your worship, because that's what it's all about. We come together in praise and worship. Unity is what's going to get it done. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? We've got to be in agreement with the Holy Spirit. We've got to let the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. Glory to God. Give Jesus another hand clap of praise. I know that some folks are not familiar with this Pentecostal way. And Brother Gene, they walk in sometimes and they think, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? Well, I like what Brother Swigert one time said. In case you walk through the door not knowing exactly where you are or what this is, this is an old-fashioned, heartfelt, Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, devil-chasing, sin-killing, true blue, red-hot, blood-bought, God-given, Jesus-loving, indoor camp meeting. Amen. One of these days, we're going to the camp meeting. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remain standing, if you would, and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 11. Psalms chapter 11. I'm going to read 7 verses there. David said, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird into your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they might privately shoot at the upright in heart." And I want you to notice this third verse here. "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold and his eyelids tarry the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. We ask for your anointing, and we ask that you would also anoint the hearts, minds, and ears of the people this morning to receive it with meekness, and we'll never fail to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on the thought, what can God's people do? What can God's people do? If you notice in the verses here, David starts off, and I'm just going to go back a little bit and read it again. He says, "In the Lord put I my trust." He makes that affirmative statement right off the bat. But then he asks the question, how, now I'm going to put this in our own words, how in the world can you say to me or to my soul, flee into the mountain like a bird? In other words, go hide. David is making it very plain here that God is his protector. God's ways are the ways he's going to follow. And if he deviates, Sister Wanda, from the ways of God, then he will become ensnared, like so many people do. So he's making an affirmative statement, "In the Lord I've put my trust, so therefore how can you say to me, flee like a bird into the mountains?" I was thinking about these verses of Scripture, and the verse number 3 really popped. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When people start messing with God's way and they start taking away the foundations that God laid, it's not going to be long until sudden destruction comes, whether it comes upon their head or around them or whatever. And as I begin to think about what are the foundations, Jesus gave us two great commandments. And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And he said, the second one is like unto it. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And as the Lord began to birth this in my spirit, I thought, well, Lord, I know this, but how does that connect with Psalms 11 and the foundations? And they began to remind me that Jesus was simply breaking down the original Ten Commandments that was given through Moses by God. 2 for 10. 2 for 10. He said the first 5 commandments is our duty towards God. And the second 5, the back half of those 10 commandments, is our duty toward man. And this is the foundation that we've got to be willing to hold fast to. Brother Gene, in a time when we have a government who has taken the 10 commandments off their walls, in a time where our schools have ripped God completely out, and in most churches, 10 commandments, you won't find them on their walls either. Thank God we still got ours up here. The foundations, if they're removed, well, let me put it to you this way. When someone builds a house, you've got to have a good bedrock. You've got to have a deep foundation. I've heard people say some houses have a deeper thickness than others, depending on how high the structure is. I've got a man sitting in the back could probably school me on that because that's what he does for a living. Actually, I got a couple of them back here that have. But I'll tell you this, if a house does not have the right grade of concrete, guess what's going to happen to that foundation? As soon as rain hits it, as soon as the elements get to it, it's going to start to crumble. I was out here to church not too long ago before all the snow came, and I got to looking, and I thought, what happened to that brick? We got some big red bricks out there. I'm sure all of you have noticed them for decoration. And one of them looked like it had been pulverized. I mean, it wasn't cracked. It was in teeny tiny pieces, still in its shape. But it looked like something from Star Trek, like somebody hit it with a laser beam. And I thought, what in the world happened? And the thought came into my mind, Brother Archie, that particular brick must not have been mixed right. It must not have had the right consistency for it to do that. And that's what happens to a foundation of a home. If the grade of the concrete's not right, once the elements get to it, it begins to crumble. And then what happens? The house cannot stand. Now, do you see where I'm going with this morning? When a nation begins to remove the foundation of God, it's not going to be long until it crumbles. Now, I'm not up here preaching doom and gloom this morning. I'm just preaching the Word of God. We're talking about the foundations. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. How do we do that? Well, like I said, we do it through the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Don't bow down yourself to worship them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's a big one. Honor thy father and thy mother. Those first 5 right there pertain to our duty towards God. Somebody said, how is honoring thy father and thy mother a duty towards God? Well, if you can't love your earthly father and mother, how are you going to love your heavenly father? If you can't respect mommy and daddy, there's no way you're going to have respect for God. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, I remember growing up when we were under Pastor Bruce Brooks and then moved on to Pastor Larry Thomas. I remember when them fellas, there was a time, Brother Archie, when they would walk into the room where a bunch of heathens were telling their dirty jokes and cussing and carrying on. As soon as Pastor Thomas or Pastor Brooks walked in, they hushed. There was a level of respect. Nowadays, you let a preacher walk in a room and they just get louder, as if they're trying to run him off. And of course, the back half, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, lie. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor. These pertain to how our duty is to our fellow man. So to tie all these together this morning, I want to start off by talking about our duty towards God. And the way that we do that, our duty towards God, listen to this, it demands all, not some. It demands all, that's what the scripture says, of our heart. It demands all of our soul. It demands all of our mind, and it demands all of our strength. There's a big one where people are letting down. Hello, don't get quiet on me this morning. All these years I've been, 41 years now ministering in different churches, Brother Archie, the rule has never changed. 20% of the people do 100% of the work. Everybody else talks about it. Everybody else wants to point out what you're doing wrong. And they want to question, but. Thank God for people that are willing to be engaged. He covered all the bases here. Our duty towards God demands us. It demands all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And I'm just going to tell you now, I'm going to be redundant this morning because I want it to sink in, okay? When you leave here, I want this to be rolling through your head. How? Well, our duty towards God is in the following areas. It is in the area of our allegiance to Him as the only God and God alone. There's a lot of doctrines floating around, as you know, right now, that's telling people there's more than one way to God. You've got to be tolerant. That's what they mean by being tolerant. Now, there's tolerance as far as we live in the United States of America, and there's tolerance as far as, you know, we're the great melting pot and we got people from every nation known to man coming into our country and they all have their way of worship. That's one form of tolerance. But the kind of tolerance that today's world's talking about is you got to agree with what their theories are. We got quote-unquote preachers standing behind pulpits today that don't really preach the Word of God. They're trying to cram psychology down your throat. They're trying to be warm and fuzzy and feel good, happy, happy, joy, joy. Here he goes again. Get used to it. The Apostle Paul was instructing Timothy. And he said, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. And then he followed it up by saying, be instant, in season, and out of season. In other words, when it's popular and when it's not popular. See, I never did get in this thing for a popularity contest. If I did, I'd been done a long time ago, wouldn't I, honey? I've made quite a few people mad in my lifetime. Some of you have heard me tell the story about holding a revival in Kentucky as a youngster. Hadn't been preaching very long, young and dumb, you know, didn't have a whole lot of wisdom. I got up there preaching, buddy, I just believed in opening it up and letting it fly, you know. Didn't give any thought to what I said and didn't know any of them people. And I said, the problem with some of you men in this church is you put your beagle dog in the front seat, put your wife in the back of the pickup truck, buddy. If looks could have killed. After the service, I was warned by the preacher that was with me. He said, you better watch what you say up here. Some of these fellas, they're not very sanctified, you know. But I didn't get in this for a popularity contest. Our allegiance must be to God and God alone. And he said, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Did you catch that? Two for one. Reprove and rebuke. He said that twice. Two different meanings. And then he said to exhort. Well, we can't exhort until the sin's out of the camp.
That's right.
And that's the problem with the church world today, Sister Darlene. There's too much sinning going on and too much sweeping under the carpet. I heard a preacher one time said there was a man that come down and he would kneel down every service as loud as he could. He would look up and lift up his hand. Lord, send down your mighty broom and sweep all of the cobwebs out of my heart. Next night he prayed the same prayer. He seemed like he got louder and louder every time. Finally, the evangelist had enough of it. He walked down and he put his hand on his back. He said, Lord, kill that spider in his life that's creating all these cobwebs. Sometimes people just want to sweep it under the carpet. Hey, God has a prescribed order. Discipline, he said that judgment has to start in the house of God. And I'll just say this too. In another verse of scripture, he talked about the house, about the man ruling the house well. Headline goes, there was a pastor that got in trouble with the law. Found out that he whipped his kid, called him on the carpet for it. They started to interview the little boy, said, what'd you think about your daddy whipping you? What the boy had done is he thought it would be nice to push the outhouse into the creek. He lived in the country. So he said, what'd you think about your daddy whipping you like that? And he said, well, he said, I cried. He said, I told my daddy, daddy, please don't whip me. Daddy, please don't. He said, even George Washington, daddy, when he cut down the tree, he said his daddy didn't whip him because he was honest. He told him what he did. He said, my daddy looked at me and said, son, George Washington's daddy was not in a tree either. I told I told that to my wife and some of them the other day. I had them spellbound. Brother Gene, they thought it was a real headline, you know. She said, "You dog, you got me. I was engaged." But listen, there is a prescribed order. And here's what Paul says. He said, "Timothy, you got to preach. You've got to prove. You've got to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And here's why, Timothy. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Listen to this part. "But after the lusts of their own heart," it's talking about the people, "shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto what?
Fables."
Fables. Just to shoot a couple names out to you this morning, then I'll move right along. Oprah Winfrey. Telling people by the thousands that Jesus is not the only way to God. Joel Osteen. Standing before a television camera. And said that the gays will get into heaven just like anybody else. Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, saying we've got to pick up this new religion called Chrislam, where they mix Christianity and Islam together. Big time preachers, big time fat pocketbooks, thousands under the sound of their voices. But thank God for preachers, and you might not like the name I'm getting ready to call out, but thank God, number one, for forgiveness, and thank God, number two, for someone who still got the guts, even though he failed years ago, to point his finger in the camera and say, "It's the cross, it's the cross, it's the cross, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that's going to see you through. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Our allegiance to our God has to be in the worship of Him and Him alone. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. Either you'll love the one and you'll despise the other, or you'll cling to the one, you'll hate the other. It has to be our allegiance in as respect of Him and His holy name. I've never seen the likes, and I heard Mom touching on it a little bit this morning. They don't think anything about taking God's name in vain. These regular television programs, not HBO, not Cinemax, the regular networks, they will bleep out the big F word. They'll bleep out the what they call the big words, the F-bomb as they call it, but they'll let the GDs fly, and they'll take Jesus Christ out of context, and that's okay. Lord God, give us people who say they're Christians that'll stand up and say, "I'm not listening to that garbage," and turn it off. God gave us a hand. He gave us the ability to have control over that one-eyed devil. The problem today is people let that one-eyed devil have control over them. Stub up on me if you want to, but it's the truth anyway. We got to stand for God's holy name. You know what? If you're letting that filth go through your mind, you might as well be saying it yourself. Whipped them enough. Our duty towards God, again, demands all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength in the area of assembling ourselves together in worship and setting aside one day out of seven to rest. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, we know that Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial part of that law. There were things they weren't allowed to do on the Sabbath. Jesus fulfilled all that. But did you know that God ordained the Sabbath day long before Jesus came along? From the very beginning of the world, He ordained the Sabbath day long before Moses came along. If it was good enough for our God to take one day to rest from His work and sanctify one day holy, who do we think we are that we're going to skate by and just not have any respect for it whatsoever? I tell people this. In the day and age we live in now, some people work on Sunday. That's fine. Set aside another day. Don't work. Pick you another day of the week to honor God as your Sabbath. People get hung up on whether Saturday is the real Sabbath day, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, or rather Sunday, as in to me, I could care less what you want to call it. Set aside one day, say that's my holy day that I'm going to serve, I'm going to observe for the Lord. I'm going to rest this body. People want to wonder why they're wore out all the time. They wonder why they get sick all the time. They don't know why they don't have any energy. It's because they work 7 days a week, can't get enough of that money, and they've got to make sure they've got the money coming in. They have the fancy boat and the fancy car and the fancy home, and Jesus is coming back, and while they're laboring for the things of this world, he's going to take those that's looking for him out of the world. And that's why he said to come out from among the world and be ye separate.
Right.
Saith who? God. Saith God, not Jimmy. So you can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm not the one that wrote the book. I'm just the one that's a lot of time guilty of making people mad for reading it, you know. And then finally, in the area of our respect and reverence, as I said before, to our earthly mother and father. There are kids, you see it on the headlines all the time, kids killing their parents, hacking them to death with a hatchet, shooting their brains out with a shotgun. Some of you might have seen the headline this week, near the end of the week. It didn't have anything to do with the mother, father, but it came to my mind when I was reading these. Another crazed lunatic, naked, attacking a person and eating the face like a cannibal. This happened a couple years ago. Remember, I gave you a headline about that. It just happened again this week. And it said they had the strength of 10 men strung out on PCP and all kinds of different dope. I think it was heroin, whatever they called it. By the time they got him off the person, he'd done tore their face up. That's what happened to the other guy. We're living in a time where demonic activity is running wild.
Amen.
And unfortunately, he has zeroed in on our youth. I'm seeing more and more parents taking their kids out of the public school, and they're saying, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to homeschool them. Had a family member tell me just the other day, said, asked him how it was going. He said, I wish my wife wasn't doing that because I ain't got hardly any time with her. I'm thinking, I looked at him, I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Your kids are safer. And they're not being indoctrinated by stuff that's not true. Thank God for people, parents rather, that have the nerve to send their kid to a Christian school if they have the money, or to homeschool them. Because the Bible tells us plainly we are to instruct them daily and remind them of God's commandments daily. We cannot, Brother Gene, remove the precepts of God and the commandments of God, the instructions of God, and expect the foundation to remain strong. It cannot happen. It will crumble. Well, you don't understand, Brother Jimmy. If I come down too hard on my kids, they might commit suicide. That's another lie from the pits of hell. I told someone just the other day, if you want to tune your kid up, I'll tell you a better way of doing it than whipping out a belt. Take away their video games. Take away their cell phones. Put them in a room where all they've got is four walls like they used to do me when I was young. And say, you can sit in here all day until it's dinner time and time to go to the bathroom, but you ain't going to read a book. You ain't going to do anything but see how many flakes of paint you can count on the wall.
Amen.
Nowadays, you do that to a kid, but they'll be an angel the next day. Just ask Freddie. He'll tell you. We've got to hold fast to those traditions and the doctrine that has been laid down before you and I were ever born. If it was good enough for Paul and Peter, it's good enough for me. Those boys paid with their life. I heard someone tell me just the other day. I mentioned it to you guys last week, I think it was. He didn't understand why us Christians weren't going out and buying AK-47s and rising up and taking the government on. It's time for Christians to rise up, he said, and go to fight, literally. I said, brother, the Bible says our warfare is not of flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare. Jesus rebuked Peter, told him, put your sword back on your sheath. They thought Jesus would come to take things by force. That ain't why he came. We're living in an age of grace, one of the most toughest dispensational times that there ever was. And I say that for this simple reason. We are commanded by God to forgive no matter what the sin. If a pedophile walks into this church who has molested hundreds of kids and they kneel down at this altar, Sister Robin, and they say, please forgive me, you know what? We're to forgive that person too. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But what's the difference in forgiving them or forgiving that drunk that staggers down the aisle and kneels down to pray and gets up sober after the power of God? What's the difference between someone being delivered from cigarettes or anything else for that matter? There is no difference. God loves us all the same, and His blood covers a multitude of sin. The problem with a lot of times with church people is they want to crucify one another. Especially someone who's been in church for a while, like Pastor Jimmy Swaggart. They crucified that man. And I'll tell you something. I don't know of anybody else in that time or this time that would have the guts to stand up before the world and weep like he did and beg forgiveness. Now, you can say whatever you want to say, and you can judge the man however you want to judge him, and you're going to get in trouble for that if you do. But I'm going to tell you something. God's blood covers a multitude of sin. Paul said, if you find a brother or a sister taken in a fault, in other words, a sin, what did he say to do? Kick them? No. Smack them upside the head and say, you dirty, rotten dog. He said, restore such a one with what? The spirit of meekness. In other words, humbleness. Considering your own self, lest you also be tempted with that same sin and fall. Where was that at back in the 80s with Pastor Swaggart? They were ready to tar and feather him and set him on fire. Well, but we all embrace the Apostle Peter. Peter said, I don't even know him. What did Jesus say when he rose from the dead? Go tell my disciples I'm risen and Peter. He didn't leave Peter out. And guess what happened? Peter became one of the greatest church builders and leaders of that time. Amen. In fact, when he looked at Peter before he fell, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's a twofold meaning there. He was speaking of building his church on Jesus Christ, but he was also speaking of the great works that Peter would do once he was converted. Any one of us, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I'm trying to mind the Lord this morning. I don't want to leave anything out. But any one of us, if I came to your house or you came to mine spiritually and we began to open each other's closets, guess what we're going to find in there? We're going to find skeletons. But you know what? When we came to Jesus, and even after we came to Jesus, some of us who fell and came back and got renewed, got restored, at the moment we pled the name of Jesus, the spiritual Fifth Amendment, so to speak, he posted a sign, absolutely no fishing, because my blood covers a multitude of sin. How do you know he posted a sign? Well, I'm speaking that hypothetically, whatever, symbolically, but he posted a sign symbolically, the fact that he said that once I forgive, I will cast their sins as far as the east is from the west. They never meet. I'm trying my best to paint a picture for you this morning, church. If the foundations be destroyed, what can God's people do? Where's the power? David knew what he was talking about here. That's why he started off by saying again, in the Lord put I my trust. But if he deviated from that trust, he would have no foundation. Now, to finish this up, our duty towards our fellow man demands us to love our neighbor as ourselves in these following areas, and I'm going to be quick. In our mutual respect for the sanctity of life, thou shalt not kill. In our mutual respect for the bond of holy matrimony, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't touch another man's wife. Wives, don't touch another woman's husband. Our mutual respect for what belongs to our neighbor, thou shalt not steal. Our mutual respect for not only our neighbor, but also ourself in the area of integrity. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And finally, in the area as our mutual respects for one another's property, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.